To Education, Leadership, and Beyond, Surviving and Thriving. My name is Andrew Marotta, host of the show, and we are on a brand new platform. First time here on StreamYard. Thank you so much, StreamYard, for bringing me on here. Really excited about joining this new platform. A little more user-friendly for me, and I hope it's more user-friendly for you. It's broadcasting live on Facebook, live on YouTube. Twitter, also known as X. I don't know what the heck happened there. But then we're going to iTunes as well as on Voicehead Radio Canada, wherever you are listening. Hello. And if you're watching live, jump in the program, jump on and join us. Andrew Marotta, host of the program, and I'm excited to be with you here on Education, Leadership, Beyond. A little commercial before we start. Hats is on Audible. I'm going to ask our guest today, Superintendent George Mendoza. I know he listens to Audible a lot, but we're on Audible. It is read by the authors, myself, Brian McCann, Jay Billy, and we're excited to have it on there. So a little commercial for Hats. If you are busy and you like to move like George and I, Audible is for you. So check out Hats on Audible. Our opening concept here is the journey. We're all on a journey no matter where you are in your life. I have teenagers downstairs at my house today. George got one teenager left. They're all grown. They're on journeys. And George himself is on a journey. He's been superintendent since 2017. But I'm curious to learn about his journey here to the United States. He is a Mexican-American immigrant here, moved to the state of Washington. Got his education at Eastern Oregon, George, I want to represent today, played college football and worked his way up to being superintendent of LeGrand School District. That journey had to be filled with twists and turns and ups and downs and failures, right? I was a Division I men's basketball referee for 20 years. I did 100 games, slugging around at the lower levels and rough venues, right? It wasn't always Madison Square Garden and University of North Carolina and Florida State and Boston College. It wasn't always those places. There was a lot of places that, you know, maybe I wouldn't have brought my family to, or maybe it was a little tough getting out of there. It was a journey. And if you're on a journey, well, not if, you know, where you are in your journey, I urge you to keep moving forward. I urge you to keep rolling. I urge you to just keep putting one foot in front of each other. Keep showing up. Speak to those who have been around, those that have been around before you. And there's answers there. Success leaves clues. So no matter where you are on your journey, I wish you the best. If I could help you, if George could help you, if any of people out there can help you, let us know. Let people know because they would be willing to help you. Enough of me chit-chat. Let's bring George into the program. George, welcome to Education, Leadership, and Beyond.
Hi, Andrew. Good to see you.
Good to see you, my friend. How are you?
I'm always all right.
Yeah.
I've been excited to chat with you, and I look forward to our conversation.
Absolutely. I have a lot to learn from you. You're doing great things at LeGrand. And let's start there, George. I was fortunate enough to be with you for your school opening. You were fantastic on that day. How has school been since the opening?
I would just say it's been a really good start of the school year. You know, I would say we started out very positive, very optimistic, a lot of people in a good place. And I would still say we're, for the most part, that way. I think there's a little honeymoon that happens for the first 2 or 3 weeks. And then after a while, you start to see kids start to get in trouble a little bit, and buses break down or air conditioning doesn't work as well, and you start to get complaints. But in general, a normal school year, a positive school year, a lot of people in a good place.
Yeah. And there was a great vibe on those days. You had some great opening points there. The music. Oh, my God. A shout out to your music teachers. That was absolutely fantastic. Yeah, the band, the cheerleaders, the whole, your award-winning band also, correct?
That's an award-winning band, and I think they were fourth place. They're usually in the top four or five in state competition, but the choir program, I think they've won 8 state titles in the last 12 years. So they can make you cry sometimes with how they sound and how they connect with you emotionally. And that's a really good choir program.
Husband and wife team there. And I appreciate it. He went in the back and got the fancy mic for me. I didn't have the regular old little mic. He went and got the fancy mic for me. So I appreciate your music teacher.
Yeah. Love it.
George, you were nice enough. I mentioned about hats being on Audible, but you were nice enough and gracious enough to get this for your staff. Has there anything in the book that jumped out to you? Has anybody on the staff said, hey, we're going to do this, we want to try this? Anything in the book that people have brought to you or you noticed that is working in LeGrand?
Yeah, no, I'm not going to say that I've read the whole book, but there's definitely people that talk to me about it. Number one, I would say I was really happy that we could work out a deal to have you come and then for us to buy hats and then give them out to our staff, which many people appreciated because they really liked your presentation. And then when we're doing the Thrive videos too, you know, I'm just going to say it's resonated well for our school district, and people do tell me that they think about you, they love your videos, they like your books. People did tell me, I did ask one of our principals if they've done anything, and one of them said that they played the poker activity in their school for staff wellness.
Yeah.
And they've enjoyed that. And then in our school district this year, we're doing a lot more rounding. So we're doing a lot of handwritten notes.
Nice.
And where we talk about people, about things that are working well or things that could use improvement, and then suggestions for that. And then a last piece is usually, has there been anyone that's been particularly helpful? And then we, of course, listen, and then we write to that person that's been helpful. And then we also write a nice letter recapping the meeting that we had. So it's been very good, purposeful, intentional work taking place with handwriting or handwritten notes, which is a section that you had. And then we also have done a little bit more recognition, social media. So we're doing, You did a piece where you were talking to us about doing more to share our story, mm-hmm. or put what we do out there, because otherwise sometimes people might not say those things about you, and that we need to do a better job of promoting our programs. And we're starting to do that this school year with videos from a variety of programs that we have.
Awesome. That's awesome to hear. And here you are, again, leading the way by coming on the program here and again, celebrating LeGrand. And that's awesome to hear about the videos. George is referencing the Leadership Sparks videos. LeGrand's got their own personal editions because that was something George talked about, that he wanted the message to continue to resonate throughout the year. George, you're in year 6 here, right? Is it 6 or 7?
It's year 7. I'm starting year 7.
Wow. So tell me, George, again, you've been superintendent. That's a long time to be superintendent in one place, but you love it there. Tell me about continuing to grow and continuing to challenge yourself in year 7.
Well, just I would say one thing, though, is about, you know, longevity or a place that you enjoy. LeGrand, I went to college here at Eastern Oregon University in LeGrand, Oregon. It's where I met my wife. It's where we had our first daughter. I'm very connected to the university. I'm the vice chair for the board of trustees. I've done a lot to give back to EOU, and I love LeGrand. I love the city of LeGrand. I like making things better in LeGrand. So the purpose, heart, passion, alignment type stuff is very strong, so that it does kind of always like help you to keep moving forward and help you to keep wanting to see things improve and for you to grow and evolve as well, and for you to just take care of people in that community that really took care of you when you were young. So those are things that have helped me. But I'll just say, you know, whatever we got to do to get better, I don't care if it's better reading or better math, I like to learn and to see what we can do to improve practices. If it's facilities, and LeGrand has a lot of facilities improvement needs. And I've enjoyed learning and growing on what to do for HVAC, what to do for seismic grants, what to do to pass bonds, what to do to improve things so that we can have upgraded facilities. That's been a lot of learning for me. I serve on a variety of boards, not just the Eastern Oregon University Board, but I'm also a member of the Oregon Association of School Executives. And getting to be on boards at times at the state level has really helped me also to think big picture, to think about our state, to think about priorities and advocacy, and almost everything that's a problem or everything that needs to get better usually helps me grow, because then I apply some strategy, I apply some time, energy, effort, and I learn more, and that keeps me re-energized.
Awesome. George, how are you different here in year seven than when you were in year one?
I would say in general, I know that I understand process better, and I'm better at sticking to, I'll just say, policy and staying close to all the things that are good systems and good structures. And I think I had to learn a lot of these things too along the way as a superintendent. I'm probably at times I think I'm battle hardened too. So sometimes I think that makes me a little more jaded and a little more like, I don't want to dance around too much. I don't want to play around too much. I just want us to, it took us a long time to create the strategic plan. Now we need to follow it. Now want to make sure that you're close to it, versus like, oh, you know, it's a good thing and that's okay. And that's a good thing and that's okay. I'm a little more like, hey, we're over here. Get over here with us. This is what we're doing. And that to me sometimes makes me feel a little more pushy, but sometimes I think, is it really being pushy or is it being passionate? And sometimes I'm like, I think I'm being passionate and that's okay too. So somewhere in all of that, you know, you learn to be patient, but you also have a sense of urgency and try to help people to have a sense of urgency. And you move things in alignment better, I think, as you have more experience, because you're not trying to like let things go all over the place. But then you also develop deeper relationships with people and create better connection and understanding of one another. And that's also a really nice thing.
Passion is a good thing, George. You could tell that you have it when I was there. Again, you mentioned the facilities. There were so many projects going on. Even when we were opening school, literally they were doing the parking lot when we were walking out to your car, getting it done. But I'm sure it looks beautiful now.
It does. Yeah, that used to be a tennis court. And we converted that tennis court into a parking lot, but it still had like the overlay of a tennis court. And we just needed to make it into a real asphalt parking lot. And the reality is, like, LeGrand is a beautiful town, but there's still five buildings that are over 75 years old.
Wow. So,
you know, even in my time, we've improved four facilities, and it just takes a while to get everything up to date. And I'm used to being in a school in other school districts where things were more up to date. So that's been one of the things that I focused on.
Yeah. And you could tell that you were showing me the projects. But one of the things that really got my attention is when you showed me about the town and you had bought a property, the district bought a property, and now are building housing. The kids and the staff are building housing for local people, hopefully to come work at the school and families there. Tell me about that project and what's that all about?
Well, just so we're doing, it's called Tiger Home Construction. And the reality is, you know, for me, even to move to LeGrand as well, 7 years ago, not that much housing at times. And so there's trying to figure out how to do affordable housing and then also do higher income housing. Not enough contractors, not enough plumbers, not enough electricians. It would take sometimes 2 years to 3 years for people to build a house for you. And basically, based on need, I could see that we needed to figure out how to support the community better. So, of course, I talked to the city and I talked to a variety of people of what can we do. And one of the things folks brought up is, well, we do need more affordable housing and we do need more programs and services around that. And so we did a study and we've realized that we should change our Woods program into a construction program. And create construction one, construction two, construction three, get to a point where we could get that construction teacher as well, who was also a gen ed teacher, who is a construction teacher, and then get us to a point where we can get students in construction three to start taking that those classes. So it helps to create affordable housing in our community, helps with our hospital as well as Eastern Oregon University, and then our school district to find housing for our labor force. And then also it creates skilled labor and more trades for our kids. So hopefully they'll stay in our community and work as electricians and work as plumbers and work as general contractors. And we can take care of our region a little bit better, take care of LeGrand a little bit better.
And the hospital was a stone's throw away. The university was a couple blocks away. I mean, it was amazing how it was all right there. And then again, a couple of those houses right in the middle of it. Really well done there with that program. George, there were so many other things about the funding being increased and restructuring salary schedules, improving the facilities, HVAC, passing the bond. I don't know which one you want to talk about because there's so many celebrations there, but that's a lot of work to be proud of.
Yeah. No, we've got a lot of great people in LeGrand. I usually tell people that's one of the best things about LeGrand, you know, that there's a lot of good humans doing good things, trying to take care of kids, trying to take care of each other, working together. And you feel that in many interactions that I have.
Yeah.
So it's really great kids and really great parents and really good teachers and coaches. And that's what creates a lot of success for us.
And you saw it there as an outsider on that opening day. George, let's talk a little bit about you. I opened the show talking about the journeys that we're on. And you have a story to tell about being a Mexican immigrant coming to this country at a two-year-old, moving to Washington State, and your journey there to becoming a school superintendent is a great one. So, I know it's only a 30, 40-minute program here, but tell me about some of the hurdles along the way and tell me about some of the amazing people that has helped you along the way.
Yeah. Well, that's probably why I'm here right now, though, is the educators that were in my life or the people were in my life really helped me think about, you know, who I can be and what I should be. Long story short, though, born in Mexico, came to the U.S., undocumented, was a migrant farm worker family. My parents got divorced and my dad did not go to school. My mom went to third grade. My mom moved back to Mexico when I was in fourth grade.
Oh.
My dad got deported and then he came back and he told us we weren't citizens. But then that was at the same time where it was the Farm Worker Amnesty Act. And so we were able to be resident aliens. And then later on, you know, became citizens of the United States through being sponsored by a farmer. And, the reality is, after my parents divorced, my dad married a white woman who was a court clerk in the city of Sunnyside. So she was a, you know, beautiful, wonderful lady that started to take care of us as well. And she basically told my dad, like, hey, you need to let George play sports, or you need to make sure that George can get to school on time, because he would take us working with him to cut asparagus or do other things. And that was our normal life, is that we worked on the field with him whenever we weren't at school. And sometimes he would drop us off at school late, but then she helped us, or helped him basically to do a better job of getting us in school. And then after that, coaches, teachers, different people, you know, helped me. And I spoke only Spanish when I started my, you know, elementary years. And by the time I was in third grade, fourth grade, I was starting to speak English fairly well. And by the time I was in fifth grade, I had a wonderful fifth grade teacher that was very motivating and inspiring to me, where I felt seen and heard and valued and understood. And so I knew I loved her. I liked what she gave. And then meeting coaches, and then, you know, I got to high school and had a good athletic career. And then I had teachers and coaches that mentored me. And then boom, I got to college and I knew I wanted to be a teacher or a coach or an FBI agent. And then I had people that were like, you should be a teacher and a coach. And then that felt right. So, but it was a lot of good humans helping me out.
Yeah. And where was it, George? Do you remember exactly where I said, this is what I want to do?
I was a cadet teacher my junior year and senior year in high school, and I had a teacher named Mark Little, who was also the football coach, one of the football coaches, and I did that for 2 years with him. And I knew after a little while that I wanted to be like him, wow. Or I knew that I wanted to help people like he helped people. So by my senior year, I was pretty sure I wanted to be a teacher, and I wanted to be an elementary teacher or a PE teacher and a coach. So that then it went from there.
Wow. And you showed, even on the opening day, you showed about your teachers and the impact that you had, and you told a little bit about your story. And you played college football. You know, you were a standout player, Eastern Oregon. George is sitting down now, but he's a big guy there. I don't know if it's 6'6", George, 6'7", but George is a big guy playing football.
Yeah, just 6'2 and a half.
I'll give you 6'5" here on the program. But George, what lessons did you learn playing college football that you take with you today as a school leader?
There's a lot, you know. Number one, like hard work, working together with people towards a goal, building relationships, overcoming adversity, dealing with losses, being on a journey with people and going through a process where sometimes you get annoyed and hurt and frustrated, but then you still figure it out. And then you come together and you become united all over again. I think anytime, you know, you play a sport too, you look at strategy, you look at tactics, you look at different things of how you can win, how you can improve, you know, how to attack other people or how to address gap areas. There's all these things that happen that I also think happen in life. And that's to me what football did. And you get this like deep relationship sometimes with people when you do hard things together and you remember each other or you reconnect with each other. And those are all things that I felt football did for me that were really helpful for my future. And that relational side was probably the strongest side.
Yeah. And you're still connected to the university today and where you played. And like you said, you serve on the board there. Was there any incidents at school, good or bad, that you remember? I was a college basketball player. I sat on the bench a lot. I wasn't a star like you. And I remember so many events. Anything that stands out that sticks with you today? Again, that was a lesson that you learned.
Well, I would just say, you know, of course, making great plays, winning plays, you know, dropping balls, all kinds of things would stand out. What I would say is sometimes, like, when people see you as the captain or people vote you as the MVP, all these things are really good. Like, you must have done things right. So those things I remember. I broke some records, and that always is like something you reflect on and you're happy about. But probably always the relationships. Those are the things that to me mattered the most. And one other thought that I had was back to leadership is I wind up now looking at myself often as a coach, a servant leader, of course, that wants to support, wants to serve, wants to understand and connect with people and be next to them and take care of things as well with them. But I also feel like the coach side is like, okay, you're the coach and you've got your principals that are your assistant coaches, or you got your directors and they're your coordinators. And then you got your teachers and they're also assistant coaches helping out with the players, the students. And then you got fans like the parents, and they might not be the fans that are happy all the time or the fans that are happy. So there's all kinds of stuff, but I wound up taking on a viewpoint that leadership has a lot of coaching to it, as well as servant leadership to it.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. George, I got to see you in the morning. I got to see you're planning and meeting people and greeting people, making sure everything worked. You and I had multiple pre-meetings, right, to make sure the day went a certain way. But tell me about your morning routine on a normal school day. Today's a Thursday in October 2023 while we're recording this. But I think great leaders have great morning routines. Tell me about your mornings.
Yeah. You know, I think mine is like Definitely, I wake up at 5:45 at 6. Usually, I'll read something that's inspirational real fast, or I'll look at my emails, and I'll usually go over my day. I usually go over the day, the night of, too. Mm-hmm. Definitely pay attention to what's going on with my day. Kind of go over like what my thoughts are for that situation and what I got to do. Usually, when the weather's not bad, I go and jog or walk. If the weather starts to get bad, I play basketball and I shoot 30 hoops. Basically, I have a routine of like lay-ins and then floaters, mid-range, and then free throw line extended, then three-pointers, and they're all 30. And then in between, I do push-ups or burpees and crunches and different things to get me to move, which I need to do because I am kind of a bigger person. If the weather's like, if it's summertime, I try to golf in the morning. So I wake up, I get on the golf course 6:15 or 6:30, play 9 holes, and listen to Audible almost every single time and catch up on the daily or Let's Go or some other kind of, you know, I always have lots of different Audible stations that I like to hear. Tribe of Mentors, Tim Ferriss, and I do that. And then, you know, I go eat something. And usually my wife will, if there's something there that she's made, I'll eat it. If not, sometimes I'll go to McDonald's, which I shouldn't, but that's what I do with time. And then I got to have coffee.
Yeah.
So, and I'll check in with people on things and how things are going too. I'll text people or I'll send a quick email if necessary.
I got to meet your secretary, Deborah Comfort. She was wonderful. How much communication do you have with her during your day? Is that something as soon as you get there, you're connecting, you have a standing meeting with her? How does that work?
No, that's a great question. Yeah. I think for me, what I try to do is I usually tell her, give me the first 5 to 10 minutes where I just kind of like check in, get my emails, sit down for a second. And then after 10 minutes, let's meet. Let's go over anything and everything you need from me. Make sure that it's a 10 to 15 minute meeting so that really within, you know, the first 30 minutes, I'm with her and connected with her. And then we're on the same page. And then after that, I'm going through and she knows what I'm doing. And then if things change, we're texting or I'm calling or I'm stepping out and having a quick chat on anything. But almost every time it's this kind of morning where first, you know, I want to get situated. I want to just get comfortable. I want to breathe for a second. I'm here. And then after that, you got 10 to 15 minutes to go over anything and everything. And then if you really need me more, schedule 30 minutes or schedule an hour and then we can catch up on anything that she needs me to catch up on. And I always give kind of like, keep things in front of me. The more you keep things in front of me, the better for our district. And we do stuff like that.
She was right by your side there in the back. She was plugging stuff in, making sure it was all working. But it's so important as a leader to have that good relationship with your assistant. And like you just described, those quick check-ins. And I love that. Keep it in front of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. George, you know, my message is surviving and thriving. You've heard my presentations, but let's take out the word and there's a blank in there. Is it a behavior? Is it a strategy? Is it an action? What is that one thing for you that would sub in, take out and put in there to thrive more than just survive?
Wow. Move forward. I'm a big believer, like, moving forward is what creates all kinds of things, whether it's solving problems, whether it's happiness, whether it's solving a problem. Like moving forward is like what we should be doing so that we can improve our lives. And that epiphany came to me over time that we can only move forward to solve a lot of problems that we have. And I don't care what the problem is, whether it's a relationship problem, whether it's passing, improving a facility problem, whether it's us learning more reading or math or playing a sport, like there's only moving forward to get better. And so that part for me, I guess that resonates.
Yeah. Great answer, George. I'm going to ask that you participate in the Surviving and Thriving book because I'm asking great leaders like you. And that was an excellent answer. Even the, hey, Andrew, instead of just a speech, can we do these check-ins, right? It's continuing to move us forward. I loved that concept as well. George, before we get to rapid fire here, anything that you want to talk about that I didn't ask you?
You know, the one thing I think I shared with you before that I think is important for people to realize, that's another epiphany, is like schools are about learning and about outcomes and about collaboration. And so we're about kids learning, and whether it's reading, writing, math, problem solving, whatever it might be. And then outcomes is like, we want kids to graduate. We want kids to do well on assessments. We want kids to do well with behavior. We want all kinds of outcomes. And then collaboration, like we want good relationships with students, with each other, with families. Like, and if we can keep things simple sometimes, I think that's important for society as well. And if we do a good job of learning and then creating better outcomes and then collaborating, things will likely work out.
You're doing that. Again, Eastern Oregon, LeGrand School District, a beautiful part of the country. If you haven't been to Eastern Oregon, it is a special place. George, let's get to rapid fire. These are quick answers. The first thing that pops to your head, are you ready?
Yes.
Here we go. Last book you read.
21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, John Maxwell.
Yeah, my soup loves that too. We read it as a team cabinet. Last movie you saw?
The Creator.
Good?
I liked it. I felt it was insightful.
Last concert you went to?
John Mayer.
He's an excellent artist.
I'm a John Mayer fan. I've gone to three.
He just was at Madison Square Garden last month. Favorite dish?
I'm Mexican, so I like anything like with steak or carne asada, but steak and rice and beans, salsa, guacamole, tortillas, and boom, let's go.
Yeah, and you took us to a beautiful place there for lunch we had. It was excellent. Favorite place to travel?
Sun River in Bend, Oregon. That resort, I just love it. There's three golf courses and bike paths and tennis and volleyball, all kinds of stuff to do.
And Ben has how many days of sunshine a year? 300?
I know they say stuff like that. I don't know, but it's a lot. But that's a fun place to visit, and it's relaxed and fun.
It is. It certainly is. On January 1st, I will be glad that I fill in the blank.
That I'm at home, that I'm with my friends and family, that I'm watching bowl games, that I'm eating food, and that hopefully the Ducks are still playing, or, you know, the University of Washington are still playing, or Boise State is doing something. I mean, it's like, I like the colleges in our area.
Yeah. The former Pac 10 there, Pac 12 or whatever it used to be. Yeah. Oregon's in what conference now? The SEC, the Big Ten?
SEC, I think. I don't know. It's like, this isn't good. I don't like it.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's really, I don't like it either. I mean, those rivalries, you know. George, the best soups are the best because, fill in the blank.
I would just say they're really good at listening. They're really good at understanding hopes, dreams, and aspirations, and then making those things come to life.
Yeah, you're doing it where you are. I saw it in action. What's a pet peeve of yours?
Negative or victim mindset where people complain a lot and then they don't come with any solutions. I usually think we have a lot of personal power and that we can solve problems and that we can improve outcomes and that we need to communicate in that manner. And that's a more positive mindset.
That was a good answer. 8 a.m. on Saturday morning, I feel, fill in the blank.
I feel excited. I'm going to get to play a sport or exercise. I'm going to follow my daughter or my son with an activity. I'm going to spend time with my wife, hopefully go on a date. And I get to do stuff with friends or watch a sporting event, either, you know, in town or nearby.
Yeah. Is your daughter Ava's your youngest, your son Christian, are they up at 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning or no? You ain't seeing them yet.
I'm going to say sometimes. I don't for sure. I'm up and Christy's up. I don't know about Christian sometimes and Ava sometimes. Christian actually runs a lot, so he's like, there's a lot of times where he's up at 6:30 or 7, and that guy's putting in up to 70 miles a week.
Wow. That's impressive. Yeah. That's impressive. One thing you're curious about.
Lately I've been in this, like, I'm turning 50 So the journey of growing older, aging well, and how to take care of my mind, body, and spirit along the way.
And your hair too. You're doing great stuff with your hair. I mean, he's got incredible hair. Excellent point there. Something about George Mendoza that people don't know about.
I don't think that they know that I was a very good dart player, and I have like really good hand-eye coordination. So sometimes if I play darts with people, they're like, "Wow, you're really good." And it's like, "Thank you."
You weren't catching those passes by accident. Yeah. The best takeaway from this show for our guests?
That I would just say that it's good to communicate. It's good to collaborate. It's good to spend time with you and to kind of have good energy, and that that we need to make time for doing things like that with other people that help us grow.
Absolutely. Here we go, George. These are one, yes or no. Pick one or the other, okay? Cheeseburger or taco?
Taco.
Long walk or gym workout?
Long walk.
Beach, pool, or lake?
Beaches. I love beaches.
The Oregon coast is something there. I know you're going to say audiobook. Ski or snowboard, or I don't even know if you're a skier.
I don't do them both very well, but skiing I like more.
Series or movie?
Movies.
Winter or summer?
Always summer. I like them both, but summer I could do a lot more.
You're outside. Moving forward.
Yeah.
Cookie or donut?
Probably donuts.
Ooh. Coffee or tea?
There's a lot of options with donuts.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Yeah. Always coffee. It's Oregon. I can't ask that question to somebody from Oregon. I can't do that. College or pro?
I pay attention a little bit more to college, I'd say.
Yeah. Those the teams I
love competition, though. I'm just going to say that. I love competition. I don't care if it's high school or college or pros. You know, I love watching competition.
Surviving or thriving?
I'm going to say always both. I typically have more of a neutral mindset. So to me, it's like things aren't as good as you think or as bad as you think. And the reality back to moving forward, like you just got to keep moving forward. And then usually that has a way of working out. And then it's usually more of an upward trajectory when you're doing things.
George, you had a lot of great quotes. Even your last thing you just said is a great quote. But I'm a quote guy. Why don't you end this with something that is meaningful to you?
Okay. So I'm going to say again, I kind of come from that background that's like of a disadvantaged background. So I'll just say that. And I definitely view myself in this way. So it's a Calvin Coolidge quote, and it's how he looks at success. So nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. The slogan "press on" has always solved the problems of the human race. So that's that move forward thing. It's like, it's determination, it's persistence. It's, you got to keep going. You got to keep grinding.
Did you have that memorized?
No.
It looked like you were just...
There are times though that I do. I mean, there are times where I can, and I have memorized most of it. But wow. But yeah, no, that's really, to me, like that's the secret.
Wow.
You don't have to be the smartest guy or girl. You know, you don't have to be the most talented, because I'm not. And you don't have to be the most educated, because that's not me either. It's just like, be determined, be persistent. Hopefully, if you're a nice human, that goes a long way too, because then that, you know, you'll collaborate. And if you're honest and trustworthy, things also have a way of working out where people will work with you. But persistence and determination, and then pressing on, moving forward.
Great quote there. Great answer. George, at the end of his presentation on opening day, showed a great clip from Jeff Goldblum. You want to see something inspiring, you want to Google it, Jeff Goldblum on Stephen Colbert. That really was incredible, George. I began to use that clip in my presentations as well because I found it so inspiring. So we're going to sign off here. George has some other work there on the West Coast. It's about to be 5 o'clock and it's about to be bedtime for me here on the East Coast. This is George Mendoza, everybody, LeGrand School District. Check them out. Check out the work they're doing. And again, a connected leader in a lot of organizations out there. George, it's an honor to have you on, and I appreciate the time, my friend.
Likewise. Always thankful for you, Leandro. Yeah.
Keep surviving and thriving. Friends, if I can help you in any way, don't hesitate to reach out at Andrew Murata 21 on Twitter. George, stay on the line a little bit. We're going to play this little outgo here. My dog Ruby just showed up. but we're going to sign off here on Education Leadership Beyond. George, thanks, my friend. All right, stay on the line.